let's do this before we, if you would, before we get started, let's do this. Let's do the best thing in my life I ever did do. Amen.
Amen, preacher, let's do it. Amen.
Well, I'm glad somebody's excited about it. Amen. Maybe you'll get excited about it as you sing. Oh, the best thing in my life I ever did do. Oh, the best thing in my life I ever did do. It's the best thing in my life I ever did do. Was to take off the old robe and put on the new. Well, the old robe was dirty, all tattered and torn, but the new robe is spotless, has never been worn. Oh, the best thing in my life I ever did do was to take off the old robe and put on the new. Some of you will get excited about that one day. Amen. Open your Bibles this morning to the book of 2 Kings,
chapter number 7. 2 Kings, chapter number 7. The Bible says in verse number 3, and there were four leprous men at the entering into the gate, and they said to one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots, and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when the lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink, and carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it. And came again, and entered into another tent, and carried thence also, and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, we do not well. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your goodness and greatness. God, I thank You for Your Word, and I thank You for what You have done, Lord, in my heart and in my life. And God, I know that the devil, Lord, would not want Your Word preached this morning. I know that he would not want Your people, Lord, to hear it today. I know that he would not want them to be excited, that he would not want them to be zealous, that he would not want them, Lord, to be desirous of serving You today. But God, we aren't here today to serve the devil. We're here to worship You. And Father, I know that You are with us. And God, that You are among us. Now God, we ask that You would show Yourself mighty through us, to us, through the preaching of Your Word this morning. That God, You might have Your will and way in everything that goes on here. We ask You, Lord, that You would cause every demon and doubt to flee. In the presence of Your Word, for the shed blood of Christ, and God, that Your people today might be edified and strengthened to do the work. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We do not well. Here these guys were, four leprous men. Four men who had leprosy. And And they came upon this great boon of riches. And they began to fill themselves with it. They went and hid a couple stashes of it. And all of a sudden, it struck them. We do not well. We do not well. They said, we're not doing right. We're not doing good. You know, I remember the day when the Lord saved me. I like that song. I remember the day when the Lord saved me. I just get all excited when I sing that song. Because I remember the day Jesus saved my soul. Or the night. I remember the night that He took away my sin. That He washed me clean. Made me white as snow. I remember the night when He said, come, let us reason together. And though your sins be like scarlet, yet they'll be wool like wool. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be whiter than the snow. I remember that night, praise God, when I asked Jesus to save me. And I remember how He saved me. And I remember how I got up off my knees, and I began to walk again, and I suddenly realized that I was born again, that I was a child of God. And I remember how excited I was. I remember the tears. I remember the laughter. I remember all that happened that night when I got saved. I remember it. It's not a story that was made up. It's a fact of history. And I remember that night that I was so amazed that what God had done for me, that I could not tell anybody. I could not tell them. First guy woke up, I was walking that fire watch, the first guy who woke up, Larry Prokup, sleeping in that rack in the barracks, asked me, Tim, what's going on? He knew something was going on. I don't know how he knew, everybody was asleep. But I told him, I said, Larry, you won't believe what just happened. When's the last time you were excited about the day you got saved? And I realized that night that I had something that everybody could have if they just received it. And that night I realized it wasn't right for me to keep that to myself. We do not well. Folks, answer this question yourself. You don't have to raise your hands. Have you invited somebody to church this week? Have you told somebody the gospel this week? Given them a tract? What has your part been? If you say, well, zero, you do not well. You have a salvation that is, salvation is free. We do not well. I'd like for you to understand that there are three things to consider, three reasons why these leprous men realized that they did not do well in holding back what God had provided them. First reason they did not well is because they did not well in the light of the great need. In light of the great need. You say, what great need? Go back to chapter number 6 of 2 Kings and let's look at this great need. The Bible says in verse 24 of chapter 6, and it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. Now, Samaria was not exactly a wonderful place, but nonetheless, this king, Ben-Hadad of Syria, came up and besieged it. And you and I need to understand there is a great need. The devil is out to besiege every nation on the face of this earth. He is out to besiege every nation, including ours. And there are far too many people who don't pay any attention to that. They don't think they have a part in that. They say, well, you know, if it's going to be destroyed, it's going to be destroyed. Hey, ye do not well in light of the great need. Who else is going to stand and proclaim the truth of the Word of God? Is President Obama going to do it? No. Is the Congress going to do it? No. How about the state legislature? Are they going to go out and preach the gospel? They ought to, but they won't. Who's going to do it? Those who have it to give. That's us. We do not well in the light of the great need. The devil is out to destroy. He is set to besiege. You know what it means to besiege? It means you come up, you surround the place, you block everything out so that nobody can get anything in. And nobody can get out. And you surround them and you wait them out. Hey, I got news for you. The devil wants to surround the church. He wants to wait us out. He thinks if he hangs around long enough, tells the lies long enough, that we're going to lay down and we're not going to say anything anymore. I got news for you. He's not besieging me. We do not well in light of the great need. You better gear up. You better get your mind engaged and begin to understand the things that people are saying and understand them in the light of the Scripture and understand them in the context of what is true. They want you to think. Now, I'm just saying this because it is a wave of today. And you need to understand, I have absolutely no hatred in my heart for any homosexual on the face of this earth. No hatred whatsoever. I have great pity for them. Because the devil has deceived them into that lie of life. And the world is trying to bury them in it. The world is trying to say, well, it's okay. That's just the way you were born. No, it's not. No, it's not. Had a man tell me one time, well, the body is for pleasure. I said, it is not. He said, yes, it is. I said, no. I said, if the body is for pleasure, then you owe every person in every penitentiary in this country an apology. Because what they did to please their flesh. And if all the body is for is pleasure, there's no reason to have them in jail. They've done no more than anybody else. If all the body is for is pleasure. But it's not, is it? The Bible says the body is for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. That's what the body's for. It's for the Lord. That's what Paul said. Listen, folks, you better gear up your minds. You better get some Word of God in you. You better begin to understand. The devil wants to besiege us. He wants to bind you up so that you don't have any shout. That's why I told that little story this morning. He wants us all to just sit like those other guys just sat. Unafraid or uncertain whether they should say anything or not. Some of them just weren't paying attention. Some of them just didn't know whether they should or not. I just jumped up and did what I thought needed to be done. I'm not holding myself up. What I'm saying is, the devil wants us to sit. He doesn't want us to stand. You need to make it up in your heart and mind right now that you're going to stand up, that you're going to speak up, that you're going to gear up for what's coming. You need to make it up in your mind right now because you do not well. If you don't, you do not well. The devil wants to besiege the church. He can't do it unless we let him. The only way he'll ever do that is if we just sit down and shut up
and let it go. Is that what you want to happen to your church? Then you better get up. You do not well because of the great need. It said, and there was a great famine in verse 25 in Samaria. There was a great need in that there was a lack of food to eat. There was a lack of food. Folks, we got all the food we need. The Bible tells me, God said in the book of Psalms, He said, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. This is food. He said, I have meat to eat. When His disciples came, and they said, if someone given Him ought to eat, He said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. Where are you going to get fed? Right here, knowing the will of God, the meat to do His will. There is a great need. There is a lack of food, a famine in the land. But it's not because it's not available. It's because no one will take it and eat it. There is a lack of food. Notice also what he said there. He goes on and says there that the great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver. I know, you know, they have on Netflix, they have all these weird things, and they started watching this series about this guy who eats weird foods, goes around the world, and I know one of them, they had this head of something that they put out there to eat. And I thought, oh my. I thought of this when I saw that. An ass's head. A donkey's head. I mean, you know, I like steak, nice cuts of steak and stuff like that. I don't want to eat a cow's head. I mean, they're eating eyeballs and all. I don't eat nothing that anybody's talked with, seen with, walked with, or sat with. Amen. I don't eat any of that stuff. I don't want no chitlins. Don't even ask me. I don't want none of that stuff. But you know, that's what the world thrives on, is the junk. There's a famine. They were eating asses' heads. They were paying, it said there, they were paying 80 pieces of silver for the head of an ass to eat. You know how much they sold a slave for? A female slave was sold for 30 pieces of gold. 30 pieces of silver, rather. This is 80. More than you'd buy. You could buy two people for this. He says here, and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. I don't know how much a cab of dove's dung is. I don't think it's like a taxi cab. But a fourth of that cab, it's about 1 quart. Okay, so 1/4 would be about 1/2 pint. Of dove dung, a piece of silver. We got to cook it with something, right? And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, you know, there was a lack of food. There's also a lack of love. A lack of love. As the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, help my lord, O king. And he said, if the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the wine press? And the king said unto her, what aileth thee? And she answered, this woman said unto me, give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her, give on the next day, give thy son that we may eat him. And she hath hid her son. It was so bad, they were eating their children. Oh, that's disgusting. Yeah, look at the world today. Look at the world today. What's happening to children? Folks, if we don't reach the children of this age, nobody's going to. Nobody's going to. This age, children need us to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must have a passion for the children of this place. Because otherwise they're going to get eaten up. They're going to get boiled. Man, half of them are being raised by grandma and grandpa. And when there's a single mom or a single dad, they ain't taking them to church. They're doing the best with the morals they have instead of God's righteousness. The children grow up and they believe all that junk about coming from animals, and so they act like animals. You don't think the devil's trying to besiege our country and our homes and our churches? Hey, there are churches that are changing, that are teaching this kind of junk in their churches. Trying to get along with evolution. Trying to get along with homosexuality. Trying to act like they got big hearts. Paul said, "You're puffed up." We better be careful lest we get puffed up. And thinking we're something when we're nothing. There was a famine because they did not well in light of the great need. There was a lack of food and there was a lack of love. And that's what the devil wants to starve out. He wants to starve out not just your love, not just the word of God in your life. He wants to starve out your love for your wife, your love for your children, your love for your home, your love for your church. He wants to starve out your love. Amen, preacher, you're right. He does. He wants to starve it out. There's a great need. And we do not well when we have all that they need. And we hide it. We hide it. They hid it twice. The lack of love. But not only that, there was a great need and a lack of the fear of God. Look at what it says here. And the king said unto her, "What ail?" Well, we read that verse 30 rather. And it came to pass when the king heard the words of the woman that he rent his clothes and he passed by upon the wall, and the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. Then he said, "God do so and more also to me, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day." Now, I do not understand this king's leap. He sees all this trouble and he begins blaming God's man. He begins blaming God's man. It's the preacher's fault. Just like that quote we had in the bulletin about bold men will always be called mean-spirited by cowards. It's the truth. Hey, they were in that condition because they rejected God, because they weren't seeking God's face. Wasn't man of God's fault. He had just preaching the truth to them. It was their fault. But oh no, they had no fear of God. And they began to blame God's man. Amen, preacher. It's right. Began to blame God's man. Not only that, he began to plot the harm. Plot to hurt God's man. Look what it said there. He said, "But Elisha sat in his house and the elders sat with him, and the king sent a man from before him." So the king sent a man out there. "But ere the messenger came to him, he said to the elders, 'See ye how this son of a murderer hath sent to take away mine head.'" He didn't just blame the man of God. He began plotting to harm him. He began plotting to harm him. He sent a guy to go cut his head off. as though that would solve the problem. But that's what a lot of people do. They got a problem. Well, they blame it on the preacher. It's the preacher's fault. Got that stuff stuck in my kid's head. Got that stuff stuck in my wife's head. It's the preacher's fault. And then they set out to do him harm. They plot to have him beheaded. Hey, I've seen people. There was a pastor one time. He was driving by the church and he saw lights flashing in the church. And he went in the church real quiet. And there was somebody with a flashlight in his office. And he opened the door and turned on the light, and it was two of the deacons in the church going through the pastor's office with a flashlight. They broke into his office and were going through it with a flashlight, looking for something. Something that they could turn on him. People do that stuff. People do that stuff. People manipulate. They plan. They plot. He planned to harm the man of God. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that a pastor, now I'm not talking about me. You don't have to judge that yourself. But the Bible says a pastor is a gift to the church. Amen, preacher. You're right. If y'all ain't going to amen, I'll amen. I don't care. It's the truth. The Bible says a pastor is a gift to the church. And when the church starts planning to hurt a gift to them, what does that say about a church? What does it say? Hey, people say, well, he's just not feeding me. Maybe your mouth isn't open. I'm just telling you the truth. Maybe your mouth's not open. Maybe your heart's not open to be taught. Because you already got an opinion about it. I got news for you. Every pastor on the face of this earth is nothing but a man. The Bible said in the book of John, in the Gospel of John, and there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He's just a man. But God sent him to do something. If you ever expect me to be more than just a man, you're expecting too much. Because that's all I am. But God called me to preach the Word of God. And that's what I'm here to do. So many people, I've been in churches and I've heard them talk about their pastor, and I'm like, well, why in the world are they not praying for him? Why are they so busy running him down, finding all the things that are wrong with him instead of praying for him for things to be right? Isn't that what you'd want somebody to do for you? There's something wrong? You had a bad attitude? Would you want people to be plotting against you, or would you want them to be praying for you? Their answer was to plot instead of to pray, because they were far from God. And like it or not, that's the way most people are. They're far from God. When they're plotting against their pastor, they're far from God. You say, what, have you heard something, Pastor? No, I'm just telling you that's what the Bible, I'm just preaching the Bible this morning. That's the truth. It's the truth. I have never liked, and I never will, have people telling me bad things about their pastor. Never have, and I never will. I don't like it. People start calling their brothers just by their last name. I don't like it. Who are they to excommunicate them from the family of God and to stop calling them brother? When you stop calling them brother, you're not going to pray for them anymore. Amen, preacher, you're right. You stop calling them brother, and you won't love them, you won't pray for them, and you ought to. I've told, I don't know how many people, they tell me, oh, the pastor did this, the pastor said that. Did you go talk to him about it? Well, no. Well, then what in the world are you talking to me about it for? If you aren't willing to talk to them about it, it must not be that important. Why don't you just get over it? Amen. You're right. I am. I'm not right. God's right. They plotted. He was blaming it on the man. Man of God hadn't done nothing but preach the word. And they're blaming it on him. Wives blame their husbands. What about praying for him? Husbands get bitter of their wives. You don't have a right to that. Amen. The Bible says you as a husband are not to get bitter against your wife. Not allowed. Then you better pray for her. You better pray for her. If that brother can say amen, you can too. They started plotting. People who plot only intend death. They started plotting. They lacked the fear of God. Not only that, not only did they blame God's man and plot to harm him, they cast doubts on the word of God. Look what that king said. It said there in verse 33 of chapter 6, and while he yet talked with them, behold, the messenger came down unto him and said, behold, this evil is of the Lord. What should I wait for the Lord any longer? He said, if the Lord's brought this evil, why should I wait for him? Why should I expect anything from him? Why should I look to him? That's what all comes from blaming God's man. You abandon faith in the Word of God and you start operating in the flesh. Well, if this evil's of the Lord, if we're being chastened of God, why should I listen to God anymore? They begin to cast doubts on the Word of God. Look in 2 Kings chapter 7, verse number 1. It says, and Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof. He got sarcastic. The man of God gave the word of God, and this guy had a sarcastic answer. He's trying to make people think that the word of God was something silly. We do not well to withhold the riches that God has given us in light of the great need. Do you not see the great need? We do not well. The Bible says we hold these treasures in earthen vessels. Is what you have in Christ today, is it a treasure to you? Is it a treasure to you? Is this something that you cherish? Is it something that's a wonder to your heart and your eyes to behold? Is it something that's amazing? Can you say with the psalmist, these things are too high for me? I cannot attain unto it. Is that how you see your salvation? Is that how your life with Christ is? Or has it become in your mind something small and trivial? Yeah, I've heard all that before, preacher. I've heard all that before. Too bad it ain't done you no good. Too bad it doesn't done nothing in your heart and your soul. Because it's a treasure to have Christ in you. It's a rich riches. It's great riches to know Jesus as your Savior. to have your sins washed away in His blood, to have the knowledge of His Word, to have the authority of God, to invite people to heaven. You ever thought about that? You have authority from God Himself to invite people to heaven. Paul said, it is as though Christ did beseech you by us. That's a treasure from heaven, amen? But people don't seem to be rejoicing in it. They want to hide it. That's what they did. They went and grabbed some treasure. They got themselves some food and some silver and gold and some clothes, and they went off and they hid it. Then they went back and they got some more food, some more silver and gold, and some more clothes, and they went off and they hid that. And they came back and all of a sudden they realized how selfish they were being, how self-centered they were being. They realized that they were hoarding that which God had given to them to help others. They said, we do not well. There's a city full of people in there who are there because they think there's some big army out here. And they're in there starving. They're eating the heads of asses. They're eating their own children. And here we are, and we got all this food. We can't even eat all this food. In 3 days, in 20 days, we couldn't eat all this food. And they're in there starving. We do not well in light of the great need. We do not well in light of the great infirmity. These guys were going to die. Did you catch what we read there? He said, they said here in verse 3, he said, and there were four leprous men at the entering of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? Why are we just sitting here until we die? What good's that doing? Listen, you and I, our life is but a vapor. It appears for a day and then it's gone. Hey, the Bible said in the book of Psalms that the man's life is like the flower of the grass that's here today, and then the wind blows it, and you don't even know where his place is anymore. In the light of a great infirmity that you and I have, we do not well to hold this treasure to ourselves. We do not well. They were four leprous men, and they were going to die. You know, there's four Gospels, and they were written by four men who are dead now. They're alive in Christ, but they died on this earth. Those men took what they had, and they gave it to others with the life that they had in them. Are we doing the same? In light of the great infirmity, they were leprous men. They were diseased men. They were men, the Bible says, that there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. That we all suffer from the same ailment and difficulty that the rest of the world does. We all do. We do not well to hide such treasures in light of such a great infirmity. People are going to die. Paul told the Corinthians, he said, some have not the knowledge of Christ. I speak this to your shame. If there are people in this community who don't know, who have never met anybody from Zion Baptist Church, we ought to be ashamed. But there are people in this community who have never heard from any one of us. Our church ought to be ashamed. You're right, preacher, we should be. Amen, we should be. In light of the great infirmity of death, of disease, of time. How long do those people have to live? Time. Hey, I'm looking for the great appearing, I'm looking for the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. He's coming one day, amen. I'm glad some of you believe it. What are you doing about it? Are you doing well? We do not well in light of the great infirmity. But we also do not well in light of the great supply. We do not well in light of the great supply. In light of the great supply. You know, those people were there in Samaria, hiding and afraid of a routed army. Do you realize that? They were sitting in that city, starving to death, eating people's children, paying good money for dove's dung. And they were in there because of fear of something that didn't exist. The army that was surrounding them. They were a routed army. God sent fear into that army. They thought they heard the chariots of the Hittites and all. And they said, oh, he's hired them against us. And they fled. Now, how is it that an army flees and nobody hears? They're afraid of a routed armed enemy. Folks, we don't need to be afraid of the devil. He's a routed enemy. You don't need to be afraid of him. You don't need to be afraid of his crowd. They're a routed enemy. They are hollow soldiers. They're just empty places. We do not well if we hold these treasures in light of the great supply. The Bible said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. In order for them to not prevail, that means we have to assail them. We have to attack them. You say, oh, that's mean-spirited. No, that is not mean-spirited. That's what's necessary. We have got to attack the gates of hell. Not sit bound up in our city all afraid. We needed to attack. Listen, those lepers, they had good reasoning. They said, if we sit here, we're going to die. If we go into the city where they're starving, we're going to die. If we go over here where they got all the food and everything, well, they might save us alive, but if they don't, the worst that can happen is we're going to die. Folks, you're going to die. You're going to fail. If you just sit, you're going to die and you're going to fail if you live like the world. But there's promise and hope with God. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, we can come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. I might die there, though I might die to myself going there. I'll live with him. We do not well in light of the great supply. Look at what the supply was and we'll be done. Notice, it said, and when in verse number 8, and when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink. That tells me that one of the great supplies was the food that they had. We've talked about that a little bit already, haven't we? The Word of God. He has given us the food this world needs. He's given us the food that we need. The sustenance we need is found in the Word, the precious Word of God. That's where it is. This Bible, this Word of God, the King James Bible, we are English speaking people. And I have not yet found anything in here that I any word in here that I couldn't look up and find the definition to. If I'm reading a book and I don't know what something means, the word means, I look it up in a dictionary. Now, if you don't, you're just being silly. How else are you going to know what it's saying if you don't understand what the word means, right? We have the food. The food that will sustain. It's a lasting food. We have the food they found, and they did eat and drink. And man, when you're hungry, which you're probably getting hungry about now, food and drink sounds good, doesn't it? Boy, just talk about chicken. My stomach goes, would you shut up and stop preaching and go eat something? Amen. Talk about steak. I'm ready to eat. All you got to do is talk about it. Oh, folks, in light of the great supply, God has given us all that we need to feast our souls upon. Then notice also, and carried thence silver and gold. What was it that Jesus told the Laodiceans? He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold that has been tried in the fire. You know what Paul said? He said, the other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Let every man take heed, therefore, how he buildeth thereupon. He said, with wood, hay, and stubble, or with gold and silver and precious stones. See, he's not just giving us food. He's not just supplied us abundance of food, but he's given us abundance of wealth, of work to do. What kind of house are you building for God? It will be tried by fire, the Bible says. That house will be tried. What's going to burn up? What's going to remain? We do not well in the light of the abundant supply that God has given us. Sometimes I could just kick myself into next week because I act so stupid sometimes. And I'm supposed to be a Christian. I'm supposed to be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ and acting like an idiot sometimes. In light of the great supply, we do not well to hide that treasure which God has given us. And then thirdly, notice, and raiment. Raiment. The Bible says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make no provision from the flesh, the Bible says. That's why we sing that song. Put off the old coat. Pull off the old coat and put on the new. Because he has raiment for us. There's a white robe, he said. The white robe is the righteousness of the saints. That's why a bride wears white, by the way. If she's done right by God. Because she's representing the righteousness of the saints. That's why. Folks, there's an abundant supply. God has enough robes for everybody. That's why that parable, he said, the man was there without a robe. He said, friend, how came you here? Without a robe. How'd you get in like this? Because God's got a robe for everyone. He has righteousness supplied. He said, whosoever will may come. Whosoever will. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might be, not maybe, not hope so one day. But shall be saved. Folks, in the light of this glorious supply, we do not well to hide it. That's what they were doing. They did it twice. Did you see? Twice they took a bunch of it and they hid it. Y'all know what that is. That's the candy jar. But you don't see it, do you? It's hid down here. But people sure like it when the candy jar comes out and the lid comes off, don't they? It's the way it is with the things of God. Folks, we have so much good from God. I can't even say it. I don't even know how to say it right. It's beyond words. It is more than I know how to utter. What great wonders, good things we have from God. And if you're not sharing it, if this church isn't sharing it, we do not well. We do not well. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know how many gospel tracts you've taken with you when you left Sunday to pass out to folks. I don't know how many people in the community you've talked to, invited to church, or invited to Christ. But you sure do. You sure do. Now ask yourself this question. Am I doing well? Or am I like those lepers? Hiding it. Hiding it. We do not well. Let's stand to our feet and let's pray together. Dear Father,